And now it's a hat.
Good morning, sweet world, and welcome to the No Dunks podcast on the Athletic Network. It's Tuesday, January 26th, a sad day in the NBA world and sporting world because today marks the first anniversary of the helicopter crash that killed Kobe Bryant, his daughter Gigi, and seven others. That feels like both a lifetime ago and sort of 2 weeks ago, all in the same breath. I'm J.E. Skeetsel rolling this morning with the Bassmaster ripping them lips, Trey Kirby.
Heyo!
Hey, yo, we got the international man of mystery taking it to the max, the friend of the hippo, Lee Ellis.
Friend.
Lee, and last but not least, making the magic happen is JD.
Hello.
There he is. Here we are. Shout out to the stream team joining us live right now on YouTube. Please continue to jam that like button, comment away, subscribe, tell your friends. Let's get to 30,000 subs. Let's do it, guys. TK actually will be dropping Big Beef, Volume 5, a little later today. Is that right, TK?
Yeah, that was a late-night beef last night, Skeets. The rebound clips don't come out until way late here on the East Coast. So yeah, video coming later, no doubt.
And Cantor, he's a vegetarian, is he not?
I think he went vegan. I think he went full vegan. He's doing some work with PETA after he heard about the factory farming that, that goes into a lot of meat production. So shout out to him. You're right, though. He did go vegan.
Okay. On Thursday night, too, while we're talking YouTube, we might have a special little thing in store. And I'm just going to tease it like that. That's late on Thursday night or later in the day on Thursday. So again, subscribe, and hit that notification button on YouTube so you'll see what we maybe get up to there on Thursday. Email us your questions and comments for this week's Beach Steppin' podcast, nodunks@theathletic.com. Immaculate items always available for sale at nodunks.com. We got No Dunks t-shirts and hoodies and shorts and mugs. Go grab something. And finally, if you haven't already, get yourself an Athletic subscription. Go to theathletic.com/nodunks where you can sign up for just $3.99 a month. There's actually a powerful piece that I just tweeted out this morning about Kobe Bryant's death being like a painful where were you when and I'm sure you guys remember. I know I do. I was coming back from New York City a little weekend with my buddy Grish in NYC, and I'm on that flight on Sunday, and when I touched down, you know, you fire up your phone and it was like boom, boom, boom. And I remember like telling people beside me on the plane, like, I don't know if this is real, I don't know what's going on here, it's saying Kobe has passed and there's this crash. And then of course later that night I think we all got together and did the podcasts in the studio. Again, doesn't that feel like 5 years ago in some weird way, but also recent? The strangest time is very weird. But anyway, get that Athletic subscription. Incredible, incredible work every day with every sport. So for $3.99 a month, you can't beat that. Okay, we got a lot, as always, to talk about. I got Tweet of the Night duties, and we're actually going to circle back to something we brought up on yesterday's show. It should be fun. We also got this thing with the NBA and the Players Union possibly discussing an all-star game. Huh? What? So we'll get to that and get your guys' takes on that, whether that's a good idea or not, and how you feel about that one. But let's start with five games, one thing. We'll start with LeBron, the king, scoring 46 as the Lakers beat the Cavs to keep LA perfect on the road. Trey, I have a feeling where you're going to go with this one, but the big takeaway from LeBron going 46 on Cleveland.
Guys, we're just lucky. We're lucky to be basketball fans because of moments like these from LeBron. A Tuesday in January in Cleveland is kind of like the default. Why would you care at all about the NBA? They're playing some random game in Cleveland in January. Nobody cares. LeBron honestly has nothing to play for in this scenario, but we get an all-time classic moment we can tell people about because we were there, man. Someone in the Cavs front office had the gall to trash talk LeBron for missing a jumper at the end of the third quarter. He said the exec was too happy that I missed that shot, and LeBron made it personal. Are you kidding me? Outscored Cleveland 21-19 in the fourth quarter. He ends up with 46, and the fourth quarter from LeBron is like LeBron versus the Pistons back in the day. He is everywhere, making absurd shots. He makes a three from the logo, the crazy fadeaway from the corner. He's getting a whole bunch of steals. He's getting a whole bunch of fast break dunks. He had a block that was so high up in the air, the referees called it a goaltend because there's like, there's no way somebody could jump up that high for a block. How did he not hit his head on the rim on that? How did he not invert his knee when he landed on that. That was an incredible play. This, to me, is a Michael Jordan story. You know, it's him making up a LeBradford Smith insult to torture him the next time they played together. Yeah. Or dunking on Mel Turpin saying, is he big enough for you? Eerily similar to LeBron torturing the Raptors after Chris Bosh's girlfriend trash-talked him way back in the day. Everybody's going to remember the titles from LeBron and the accolades. He's going to go down as the all-time leading scorer in the NBA. But these are the moments that really make you happy to be a basketball fan when you're like, this could have just been a nothing game. This could have been a fun, fine game. Instead, it's something we can talk about and tell stories about for the next 30 years.
Well said. Yeah, the Cavs put up a good fight, too. And of course, it didn't matter when LeBron found a little motivation. And we had just talked about that, Lee. Like, this is the point of his career where it is MJ-like, where it's like, well, let me find something to get me going. Like, what could it possibly be tonight? And it just ends up being a guy for smiling or laughing a little because LeBron missed a jumper at the end of a quarter. And he's like, nope, I'm going to score, you know, 21 now in the fourth quarter. 21 of his 46. He made 9 of his 10 shots. Trey said it hitting, like, bombs, like ridiculously deep shots, and he had the Kobe fadeaway in the corner, and yeah, setting up guys, of course, too. It's like, it's hilarious.
Yeah, and the Cavs have been a fun team to watch this season, and it was a fun game for three quarters. In fact, it was a fun game. The entire game was fun, but when it was LeBron just like, all right, you guys have had enough. There's no way I'm losing to the Cavs here. I'm just going to go out and take this out. And you talk about all those great shots, but really for me, it was that dunk, because LeBron was like almost like the Iguodala block, where he just stalked out his opponent there and then rose up. He took out his own teammate, Kyle Kuzma, in the process. And he didn't just sort of deflect the shot. He sent it about 15 rows back. Oh. And it was like, why are you exerting so much effort and energy in January on a Monday night in Cleveland? As Trey mentioned there, you got nothing to really play for here. We've seen all this before. But it's like, no, I'm still the greatest player out here on the court. And it was just so incredible to watch. And that those closing baskets, it was like, he's going to miss one. Surely he's going to have to miss one of these. And then it was almost like he was going LeBronto on the Cavs there. Like, not completely disrespecting them in the sense, but it was just like he just kept hitting dagger after dagger after dagger. And what a fun game. You know, someone criticized me the other day because I said we were watching Game of the Season last week and I was living too much in the moment. Well, I forget everything when you go from a night like that last night. I'm like, that was a Game of the Season last night because it was the most fun performance to see from LeBron. You guys mentioned there his shooting splits, just incredible. The defense was there. The Cavs get the win. The Lakers get the win over his former teammate, the Cavs. And, you know, we might have almost been talking about another big beef performance there from Andre Drummond. He had another 17 rebounds. He was good. And Colin Sexton, he had some good moments in this game. But, you know, when it was winning time, LeBron certainly showed the difference between a superstar player and a guy who's just having a pretty good season to start with. So this was so much fun to watch. It's great to see. And I think we've still got a few more of these LeBron games in us. It's just you just don't know when they are going to pop up.
Yeah, LeBron would have been an incredible wrestler, the more I think about it. He just, like, has a flair for the dramatics, TK. Like, I mean, even at the start of this game, he goes back to his, like, you know, powder toss. You know, it's like, why? He just, like, he's like, why not? This will be fun. I'm back in Cleveland, you know, special occasion. And then he went, like, didn't he have, like, 17 in the first quarter, too? Like, he set it up for a monster game. Then he cooled off a little bit and then obviously turned it on in the fourth. But he just gets it. It feels scripted a lot of times with LeBron because it's like, there's no way this is actually happening. I don't know, he comes up with it and then he just delivers on it. Amazing stuff. And it was a very entertaining game. Like you said, I'm happy that the Cavs, you know, made it a close one. This could have been a blowout. And look, it's great too because you've got, you know, look, it's early, but we're always talking about the MVP conversation, right? Like, always. And we've talked about LeBron being in the mix. And Lee, I think you had him when we were doing our one-month-in picks, right? Yep. You went with LeBron as your pick. And there's no doubt games like this, like these big scoring bursts and like these even little, like these like myths or things that are happening within the game, they help his case. It's like they build to his narrative for sure, right?
Oh, absolutely it does. I mean, we always say basically any disclaimer with a LeBron Lakers game in the regular season doesn't mean anything. It's just one game, but we could play for every single game. But the Cavs brought that out of LeBron last night. They made him raise his game to that level, and he had so much fun doing it, and just so much fun, I think, showing everyone that he's still got so much in the tank and so much motivation that he wants to go out there, and he's not just satisfied with his four championships. He's like, I've got to stuff a few more in here if I can to catch Michael. And when you see those performances like that last night, you know, part of the reason I gave him MVP last week was I really don't see a team being able to knock off the Lakers the way they're playing right now four times in seven games.
Right.
Because you just feel like Anthony Davis has been okay this season, but he hasn't really stepped up. But as long as LeBron is out there, it's just like he can just flip that switch still. He takes incredible care of his body. You know, he's still such a great shooter. He defends. He does everything. There was a couple of times there for the Cavs, remember, where the Cavs' defense really dropped off. But LeBron still feels like when he decides to set the tone defensively, the Lakers are very, very hard to score on. And, you know, he's got all the tools still. It's just when he chooses to use them, which, again, so far this season, he's been very, very consistent, even though he's not putting up gigantic numbers by his standards.
Well, that's going to be interesting, right? If, you know, LeBron plays a good chunk of games or whatever. When we get near the end, if we get to the end, hopefully we do, knock on wood, it's like, if the Lakers have the best record, because we usually say, well, who's the best team in the league, and then who's the best player on that team, right, Trey? Well, in this case, it would obviously be LeBron. If the Lakers have the best record, you'd be like, okay, well, we'll just give him the MVP. But like, what happens if, for LeBron, his numbers are not at what they've been before in years prior? Like, they're a little bit down in terms of the scoring and all that. And then you've got these other monster numbers from an Embiid or a Jokic or a Kawhi or whatever. You know, that's going to be an interesting debate, because you can already hear people going, the LeBron fans are going to be like, Hold on. I thought you always said it's like the best team with the best player. Well, they should really get the MVP. Well, now that's LeBron, right? I mean, yes, AD is there too, and he's amazing. But like, you can just sort of see this already coming. And it's super early, of course, but it's fun nonetheless, right?
Oh, man, totally. It hasn't even been a week, and I'm ready to change my pick to LeBron just watching what he's been doing, because this man is shooting 41% from three. That's honestly not fair. If LeBron's going to be able to shoot 41% from three, like, he doesn't even believe it, I don't think. He hit this logo three, and it was, like, a little bit of a pump fake. He's like, wait, I make this shot now. Yeah. I'm regularly making 30-foot pull-ups. And it's like, we've been watching LeBron for so long, and all the talk early in his career was, man, whatever happens if this guy gets a three-pointer? Whatever happens if he becomes a reliable outside shooter? Now, if you're shooting 40%, that's like sharpshooter status.
Yeah.
And he's racking up these moments. If you were a college football player, you would call them Heisman moments, right? The staring at the bench while the ball's in the air. The calling the three while the ball's in the air. Last night, this comeback, or just the takeover down the fourth quarter. You know, the fourth quarter is obviously what matters the most to LeBron. And every fourth quarter, he's showing up. And it seems like a major moment every time he does. So, yeah, LeBron rocketing from number three to number one on my MVP ballot in the course of, what, 4 days? Come on, ridiculous stuff.
Look, it's a fluid conversation.
Talk about him as a three-point shooter, too. He will most likely be top 10 all-time by the end of this season in three-pointers made.
Wow.
Which is incredible, because right now, he's less than 100. He's about 65 behind Jason Kidd, who's 10th all-time. So he's going to get there this season, obviously, pending an injury or anything like that.
Yeah.
LeBron's going to do it, so he's going to be top 10. You know, we talk about his scoring as his greatest weapon. Maybe it's his three-point shooting. Oh. We just don't
what about his playmaking? I think he's quite underrated when it comes to that.
His leadership. It's his leadership. That's what we underrate the most.
All right, well, let's keep it going here. Harden and Durant. Talking about MVPs, a couple former ones there. They helped the Nets break away late to beat the Heat, 98-85. Lele, get us started. Big takeaway from the Nets beating the Heat again.
This game was a classic Miami Heat sort of Eric Spoelstra game. Pretty dirty and grimy and grubby. And it was a one-point game with 5 minutes to go. And no one was really standing up for the Heat, for the Brooklyn Nets there. None of the big three could really get it going. And then all of a sudden, James Harden hits a three, and that sort of broke open the shackles. And then he went on a bit of a scoring tear.
Mm-hmm.
And you could sort of see Durant and Kyrie were kind of like, it's your night tonight, so you can sort of see us home from here. And that's what happened. He drove inside. He hit another three. He set up another three for Joe Harris, it was. And that's pretty much what settled the game here. A lot of people are sort of talking about the Heat's, the Brooklyn Nets defense late. It was fine. I think it was more the Nets, the Heat just really couldn't get their offense going outside of Bam last night. Bam was fantastic again, as he was against the Nets the other night. But really, they're still shorthanded to the Miami Heat. No Jimmy Butler again, no Tyler Hero. And they just really couldn't get it going. But they were able to just keep the game close by just playing that sort of tough defense that we know from Eric Spoelstra-led teams. But when winning time was there, it's great when you've got three fantastic options and one of them was just in the mood and the other two were like, fine, let's just let him do it tonight. And that's what happened. So they broke the game open and won by double digits in the end. But not a beautiful game to watch.
Oh, God. The first half was atrocious. There was like four... I think there was four three-pointers made combined on like something like almost 40 attempts. Like, it was bad shooting. And it was not really the defense was elite. It was just guys missing a lot of shots they're used to hitting.
Yeah, yeah. It just wasn't a fun game. I mean, this is the first time I've seen Kevin Durant this season just not look beautiful when he was out there on the court. He still finished with 20 points.
Right.
But it was kind of like, oh, even he's sort of struggling tonight.
Yeah, just standard handsome stuff from him.
Yeah, exactly. But, yeah, Bam really showed a couple of incredible highlights for him. Had a nice double ender where he slapped the ball off the backboard, ran back down the other end for a putback dunk. He's a great player. Bam really is a very, very good player, but they just don't have enough weapons right now, the Heat, offensively. So they have to try to grind you out as best they can. And against most other teams, you can probably do that, but the Nets have enough guys that can bail themselves out when things aren't going too well.
Yeah, they got enough closers on that team, for sure. They got like three Dennis Eckersleys there, Trey. It's like Harden had 10 points and 5 shots through the first three quarters. This was another like, where's Harden type of game? What's he doing here? He's setting up guys, but he's not really looking for a shot. But then he scored 10 more in that fourth quarter, that like 18-2 spurt that just turned the game into a massive lead, and it was over. I saw Seth Partnow. I wanted to ask you about your thoughts on this, Trey. Like, he was tweeting, is there something here with Harden where he's not dribbling the ball into dust, you know, for three quarters, where he's having to do so much that we've seen him do as a Rockets player, where that means he's more effective in the clutch? I know it's still early, small sample size and all that, but like, is there an idea here that he could just be more explosive in the fourth quarter because he's not having to carry teams for the first three?
I think it's certainly possible. You look at the personnel out there, they could have three number ones, but I really think it comes down to being Durant is the 1A, Harden's the 1B, and Kyrie is the 1C. Harden just handles the ball basically for the first three quarters. He's happy to set people up. And it does look like he has a little bit more juice in the fourth quarter. Like you're saying, it's early. We're still in the first month of the season. We're in the second week of him being on the Nets. So we'll see how it plays out come playoff time when he's had to be playing for 6 months. But right now, it definitely looks like he's able to be saved a little bit during the games to have the energy there in the fourth quarter, which has kind of always been the case with Harden, right? That was always going to be the question when they brought Chris Paul in Houston. Great, this will save James Harden for the fourth quarter in the playoffs. They bring in Westbrook. This will save James Harden for the playoffs, for the fourth quarter. But now he doesn't even have to be the number one guy for three quarters of the game. So he has the juice there in the fourth quarter. Looks explosive, no doubt about it, in the fourth.
Lee, should we be worried about the Miami Heat? I know you brought up, obviously, a lot of their injuries, missing still some of their guys. No Jimmy again, no Hero, no Avery Bradley. The Heat are 6-10. And I just bring that up because, like, we've given them a pass, I feel like, here on the show, because they've been missing guys because of, you know, COVID-19 health and safety protocols, bunch of injuries. This was a team in the finals last year, and, like, you know, how many times have we talked about the Raptors' slow start and, like, how bad they've been at times, and they lose again last night? They're 7-10. The Heat are 6-10 here. I mean, should we be panicking at all, or nah, don't worry about it. Wait till they get their full squad, and then we'll see where they are.
Yeah, I wouldn't panic yet because of the teams that are ahead of them, too, in the Eastern Conference right now. I mean, you got the Hornets, you got the Bulls, and the Orlando Magic, and the Knicks and the Cavs are sort of in the playoff spaces there at 7-8. So I think there's still enough time, of course, with the season remaining, that the Heat can get it together. But it feels like we haven't seen Jimmy Butler, like, for months.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, I'm not sure exactly when he's due back, but they obviously need him back. But, you know, the thing is with the Heat, they play defense. We just know they're a tough team. We just know that once they do get everyone playing together, they're going to grind out some wins. They're going to get back on track fairly quickly. Now, I don't think they'll, you know, finish top three or anything like that in the Eastern Conference, but that doesn't even really matter for the Heat, because you just know if they get to the playoffs like they were last season, kind of overlook them a little bit, but they're going to be tough as well. They're going to be a tough out. So I think this is probably not a bad thing in some sense that Jimmy Butler's getting a little bit of rest now, because he did so much work down in the bubble.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, he does raise his game in the playoffs. So once they get him back, once they get Tyler Hero back, and they can start getting their full squad back together, I think they'll be okay. Because again, there's a lot of those teams in the East that started off hot and started to cool down a little bit. Maybe that's just good timing for Miami now to make a bit of a push.
Yeah, it's a good point. I mean, I'm saying they're 6-10. They're like 13th in the Eastern Conference, the Heat are, but they're two games back from the sixth seed, right? Which is the Hawks at 8-8. So it's like, but I do think that's as high as the Heat are probably going to get if everything, you know, they get guys back and they start winning some of these games. I don't see them cracking into the top five, Trey. So that means they're going to have a tough opponent. But they were the fifth seed last year, correct? So, I mean,
that's right.
And no, probably no home court advantage really in fans and stuff like that too. So are you sort of on the same boat with Lila? You're not too worried?
I'm probably a little bit more worried than Lee is because we're getting a quarter into the season at this point already. So, you know, the time is just going to start to run out if they're not able to get everybody back on the court so far. Because like Lee's saying, once the Heat have everybody back, they're going to look a lot better. But so far, they haven't looked good. They haven't been playing defense. They're bottom 10 in defense. They're bottom 10 in offense. One of those things you would think will turn around whenever Jimmy Butler is able to come back and play some serious minutes and actually contribute to the Heat. But right now, they're just running out whoever they have healthy, whoever they have available. And like Bam Adebayo is a great player. He's looked great as a number one option, but he's not necessarily going to be the number one guy on a high scoring offensive team, which is why you see a game like 98-85. Last night, looking like 1997 all over again. The Heat just need to actually be able to play their guys. Once they play their guys, things will be fine. It's just a matter of time and how far behind they get in the standings until then. It's easy to stay in the mix in the Eastern Conference right now, which is the good thing, but it's not looking like home court advantage is in the cards for Miami.
I don't think so at all.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service that you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Our next game, Nuggets top the Mavericks 117-113. Nuggets won their fourth straight here. Trey, this is a fun one too. A couple storylines in this one. Where do you want to start with it?
Well, definitely a fun game. Quiet one for Nikola Jokic. 20 points, 10 rebounds, just 4 assists. He hasn't had a double-digit assist game in almost 2 weeks. Kind of a bummer, but he's still all right. Huge game, though, for Michael Porter Jr. 30 points, 8 rebounds, 2 massive shots down the stretch, and the Nuggets really needed to cut. Speaking of massive shots, Jamal Murray gave Tim Hardaway a massive shot down to the Hibberts, and it inspired Tim Hardaway Jr. He scored 8 of the Mavs' next 10 points after Murray was ejected. It was part of a 15-3 run that gave Dallas a lead for the first time since the first quarter, but MPJ really did come up clutch. 11 points in the fourth quarter. He had 3 threes in the final 10 minutes of the game, one with 3 minutes left, tied it up, one with 41 seconds left, basically the dagger. I think the Nuggets probably lose this game if it's not for Michael Porter Jr., but he was on fire. And, you know, it's good to have him back. It was just his second game back since returning from health and safety protocols. And the Nuggets basically just need a second guy is what it seems like. Because Jokic, he's going to perform. Then it's a matter of, is it going to be Murray? Is he going to have a great night? Or is he going to get ejected? And then Michael Porter Jr. has a great night. Last night it was MPJ, but don't like to see that nut punch. That was a bad one.
Yeah.
That was an ugly one.
Yeah, it was like sort of he was getting up from the ground. He was obviously a little frustrated, but there's no denying that he just popped him in the nuts, right? A shot into the groin area, again, out of frustration, but rightfully tossed. But didn't matter with Michael Porter Jr. stepping up lately. This is huge. I mean, the Nuggets bench again, that bench is sort of back now for Denver. They outscored Dallas 63-29 in the scoring margin coming off the pine. They had one previously. We were talking about them having like a 50-point bench performance. So this is good because not only Michael Porter Jr., I'd say JaMychal Green, you know, is doing what we thought he would do for Denver. You know, they lose Jeremy Grant, but they get Green, and they're like, okay, that's good, that's good. Season high 17 for him in this one. 8 boards in limited minutes, only 23 minutes. And there was a play with like 6 minutes to go. JaMychal Green, he like went down the lane, took contact, and scored it and like dropped the biceps even, threw up the guns there to show, he's got the strength to go through in the celebration and stuff like that. But yeah, that's good. A little grit for this team isn't a bad thing, in my opinion.
Yeah, and that's 2 good games in a row for him. He's becoming a good contributor for them. And also for the Nuggets, they are closing out games. We saw, winning both overtime games against the Phoenix Suns on the weekend and then closing out this one, which is important because when you do lose your best player, you want to see who does step up. And give a quick shout out here to Jeff Skinwade on the Mavs broadcast, because after the ejection, he said Michael Porter Jr. is going to be pretty excited now. I think he's going to get a few more opportunities. And he did. I think he dropped 18 of his points after the ejection. And again, if you're Michael Malone, you're like, great, we've got a guy who can score. And that shot that he has is virtually unguardable when he rises up. It's a beautiful looking shot. And he rises up. He's so tall. He's 6'10". You can't really stop it. And he's confident. Like I've said before, he's deciding he's shooting the ball before the ball's even gotten anywhere near him sometimes, which is good and bad. It's good because he's confident. He can knock it in. Sometimes it's a little bit bad because it's premeditated, but and he's a young guy. But it worked for them last night. As far as the nut punch goes, I mean, yeah, Jamal Murray, there was no need at all for that. Like, he seemed to just bump into Hardaway, who was sort of holding his ground, and then just whacked him straight in the nuts. Yeah. I mean, I don't think he gets a suspension for it, but I'm glad they ejected him because it was like, why do you have to hit a guy in the nuts for that? Like, push and shove, you know? Like, maybe, like, get into a bit of a scuffle, but go for the nuts? Like, come on, man.
How do you feel about pushing someone's nuts?
No, yeah, stay away from the nuts.
Like, well, you said you could push and shove. Is that fine if you do that to the nuts?
No, well, okay. You get like I didn't see anything Tim Hardaway Jr. did to deserve that response. You know, he held his ground and they sort of just, you know, collided into each other, and then it was like, and it wasn't a huge nut punch, but it was.
No. Look, I'm a huge Jamal Murray fan, so I wonder if it was like one of those things, like he's just frustrated, so you're like throwing a little bit of a punch, no doubt, like a push punch, and he's not meaning to hit him in the nuts, but as he's rising up, he does. Look, I'm trying to find any way around it. I don't know. He punched him in the nuts, man.
It's okay. Yeah. Sometimes your favorite players punch guys in the nuts. It seems to always be your favorite player, Skeets. Chris Paul, another notorious nut puncher. You love this guy. I love the way he punches nuts. But I had people in a group chat calling for a 10-game suspension for Jamal Murray. 10 games, relax.
I'll be shocked if he gets a game. I think they just did it right. He got ejected. Exactly. He hurt his team. And well done by the officiating crew, really, for there. But yeah, I don't think we'll get a game. One thing about the Mavs here, though, Luke had a monster game. You know, an unbelievable stat line again. LeBron got woe boy because he put up even crazier numbers. But do the Mavs need to get aggressive here, guys? Trey, I'll start with you. Do they need to get aggressive in trading for, like, let's say Andre Drummond? Because Dallas is one of the worst rebounding teams in the league. And you look at last night's rebounding production from your bigs, Porzingis, 6. Okay, that's always sort of been a you know, one thing he sort of lacks in is grabbing a bunch of rebounds. And then Willie Cauley-Stein, who's your giant center too, 3. Do you think they are let's go get a guy that can rebound? We know Drummond could probably be had for the right offer. Or is there someone else that comes to mind, or should they just stand pat and maybe sign Drummond in the offseason and just play out this year? What do you think?
They're in a tough spot with that, I think, Skeets, because to me, Porzingis is at his best when he's playing the 5. And if he's playing the 5, that means you're not going to be playing Andre Drummond out there alongside him. On the other hand, it's like the Mavericks definitely need rebounding. It would be a lot easier, I think, to trade for Andre Drummond and then keep him in the offseason, re-sign him to a deal, because it kind of also feels like the Mavericks are always trying to lure free agents there, and they just use the Mavericks to drive up the price for somebody else. Shout out to Darren Williams. Shout out to Dwight Howard. Shout out to DeAndre Jordan back in the day.
Right.
They've been trying to bring in guys for a long time, and it's not always successful. I don't know. Maybe their guards just need to get better at rebounding. Doncic is a very solid rebounder. They've been playing without Maxi Kleber a lot, Josh Richardson a lot. They need somebody else to help out on the glass, because their best lineup is probably Doncic running things at the point, a high screen and roll with Porzingis. If you're clogging it up, throwing Andre Drummond in there, I don't know if it's the best thing in the world. They also need some more on the outside. The Mavericks are good. I had Doncic as an MVP preseason, but they just don't look like a team that's really going to be challenging for the title this year, which is understandable. Doncic is still just in year 3, so I would take my time building around him. I wouldn't necessarily accelerate things, because the basis of a great team in Dallas is Doncic and Porzingis. So whatever you can do to maximize those guys, I think, is the best move.
Yeah, and one problem too, the Mavericks owe a bunch of first-round picks, including this one coming up, 2021, unprotected, I believe, to the Knicks for the Porzingis trade. So they got a couple future picks going to New York. So I don't think they couldn't even trade a first-rounder until like 2025 in a hypothetical Drummond deal, though we've seen Drummond traded for way less than that, of course, though I think he's, you know, done a pretty good job of driving up his trade value. But a mix of like James Johnson and Dwight Powell, you know, Lili, like, it works in the trade machine. I don't know. Again, I think Trey's right. I don't even know if Dallas wants to do it, although it would help their rebounding, but then you have an issue there with Porzingis and him. And I don't even know if the Cavs would want to do that. Like, it's not the sexiest return. But then again, what are you expecting from a guy that's probably going to leave in Drummond anyway? So I don't know. I think they need to just get better at rebounding, but they were missing some guys for sure last night.
Dallas. Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. I think the Mavericks offense can be very, very good, very potent, but if you can't stop teams as much and you can't grab those rebounds, then it just makes such more of a workload on Doncic, who's been great. But at some point, it's going to catch up with you a little bit. And I think we're seeing that. In fact, you know, the Mavs have had some good moments this season, but I believe they're out of the playoffs as we sit here today. And they're not getting closer to contending. They're a playoff team, a sort of a team that you expect to get in there. And Doncic can do some crazy things in the playoffs, but they seem to be still a tier below, you know, the Clippers, even the Nuggets. I mean, obviously the Lakers stand alone there, and I just don't see the Mavericks quite there yet. But, you know, what they get out of Porzingis as well is so important because, you know, I've talked about his durability and his ability to be consistent and to be the dominant player they expect him and need him to be. And he's, you know, he has his moments, but he's still, and I'll give him a little bit of time here to get fully over his injury and to recover, but you know, he hasn't really stood up just yet and given that two-headed monster that the Mavericks absolutely need him to be. You know, he's a good defender and he's a good rebounder, but he's not a great one of either of those positions. So, you know, Mavericks have still got a little bit of time here, but certainly, you know, you would think they're starting to try to figure out how to improve on that defensive end and you know, provide more support for Luka.
Lee, I got good news with our next game here. Property value on Wiggins Island is soaring, skyrocketing, man. It's fantastic. Wiggins, yes, Wiggins in the headline, takes it to the Timberwolves, his former team, as the Warriors win 130-108. What's your takeaway, Lee?
He absolutely buried his old team there.
He had a good game, Lee. Jesus.
A good game against a shorthanded team that's really struggling. Now, look, defensively, he had some nice possessions. Got a couple of steals, had some nice blocks, really highlighted his athleticism. And on the offensive end, yeah, he shot fine, 10 for 19 from the field. But, I mean, what were we expecting out of the Wolves? No D'Angelo Russell again, who was sat out his last game because of rest, but then was injured for last night's game. Which is
a
bit odd.
He got injured from resting.
Yes. But
like, that's never happened to you. You know, you sleep on your shoulder wrong, you wake up the next morning. Oh, man, it's killing me. I think Sammy Sosa missed an All-Star game because of that once upon a time.
I feel at my worst in the morning after sleep.
What? Did you guys sleep last
night? Usually my back is sore. That's like when I'm at my worst.
Did you guys sleep last night with all the thunderstorms?
That was crazy. Woke me up. I usually sleep through everything. And yeah. That was quite the storm.
Crazy stuff.
Hey, but my French drains, they did some magic last night, let me tell you. Though the drains are a little clogged from some wood chips. I got to go out there and clean them up, but it did its job.
I had to go up
all that money.
I had to go up to the attic in the middle of the night just to check that we hadn't lost any shingles. We've lost quite a few shingles lately, but so far so good. Appears that we didn't lose any last night, but it was.
Did you really have to? You woke up in the middle of the night and checked it? Wow.
Well, I have been because I think I showed you guys. I had a huge hole in my roof. Yeah. I don't know, a month or so ago. A couple of other times we lost some shingles up there as well. So anytime it's a windy storm, I get a bit nervous. So I had to go up there, get the torch on, and go up in my boxer shorts and T-shirt. I mean, I don't know why I do it, because there's nothing I can do anyway.
Yeah, gonna repair it.
Yeah. But, you know, it's like you have to sort of like go on all the beams and sort of like lift your head up and look around like that. It's pretty crazy stuff.
Are you going to have to get your whole roof redone? Sounds like, man.
Well, maybe, yeah. Maybe.
Ooh,
I mean,
that's not cheap.
Well, not the whole thing, but look, they get really, there's a lot of wear and tear on them, you know, because they get so hot in the summer.
It's true.
And then we do get some of these crazy storms in these colder, wetter months. So, yeah, it's crazy.
A crazy time.
Anyway, what we talk about. Oh, yeah. Steph Curry was awesome last night. Really, I mean, like, it's Steph Curry. You know, he's
so when Steph Curry spit out his water because somebody made him laugh, it would have maybe leaked through your roof.
Yeah, I would have been like, Steph, don't make jokes about that right now, okay? Because, you know, we've had a few holes
in
the roof.
Very sensitive, yeah.
You know, look, for Wiggins, yeah, he's playing fine. He's playing fine. He's not going to be the superstar that he was, you know, hoped to be when the Wolves got him. But he maybe is just comfortable in that role there in Golden State. By the way, those Oakland uniforms, I will say, I thought they looked great out on the court. I think they look way better than they do in the sort of PR shots that we saw prior to the season. They look really nice. So That's all. This game, you know, I mean, no one was really expecting
the Wolves
to win.
Well, one more thing of note, I think, from this game. Kerr took out Wiseman out of the starting lineup.
Yes, he did, yes.
And Kevon Looney got the start.
Yeah.
And obviously, they got the victory. It's just interesting, something to watch, I think. Just one thing with Wiggins, too. I'm happy to see him, like you said, contributing defensively. Because there was one thing I remember when he was coming out into the league. It was like Trey, tell me if I'm wrong. I remember, like, this guy, defensively, he could be Scottie Pippen, right? Like, his athleticism is that unreal. You know, he's long. He could just make such a difference on that end. And never did that. never really had that impact. Not nearly at the level of, like, a Scottie Pippen. And I'm not saying he's even there now or the last couple of weeks, but he's gotten at least going in the right direction where he's actually contributing on that end. Forget, like, don't get everybody get caught up on, like, what's his shooting percentage, how many threes can he hit or not. Contribute there. Like, play on that end, and you obviously are going to have a super long career, and it's nice to see him at least putting some of that into practice, I think, using his athleticism to affect the game on that end.
Yeah, I wish I would have never seen his high school mixtape, to be quite honest with you, because I was like, this guy's got the greatest spin move I've ever seen and a tight handle. Look at the defense he could be playing out there. It was all just made up, right? We'd never actually seen it. We'd just seen, wow, this guy is an incredible athletic talent. He's going to be able... He looks like he's long. He looks like he can jump. He looks like he's going to eventually be strong. And, you know, he's definitely muscled up this year. But clearly the thing that has mattered is being yelled at by Draymond Green to put in the effort every single time. Yeah. Because that's exactly why Wiseman got pulled from the starting lineup. The defense wasn't there every single night because it's tough to play defense when you're a rookie big man. And so it's understandable that Steve Kerr would want a little bit more veteranship there. But Wiggins has been giving an effort on that end every single night. And, you know, if he's able to accept that he's a role player, now he's the second leading scorer. It's not the scenario Lee envisioned, but it's pretty solid. He looks like the most established as a player that he ever really has been. There have been times when he looks more like a star, but right now he looks like a guy who's going to stick in the NBA for 15 years.
For sure. All right, final game here. Just quickly, Magic beat the Hornets 117-108. Two things of note from this one. One, Cole Anthony outplayed LaMelo Ball. You know, two guys gunning for rookie of the year. Anthony was great. Career best 21 points, made 8 of 12 shots, hit the three last night, 4 of 5. Ball, you know, 9 points, 4 assists. He missed all his threes. So that's good in the ledger there for Cole Anthony in hopes of trying to get a rookie of the year. It's going to help us. He's going to get a ton of opportunity.
Oh, yeah.
In Orlando. He's going to get a ton of minutes, and rightfully so. I think he's played really, really well. So that was a nice win for the Magic for him. And the other note, big takeaway, I know Tass addressed this on What You Need to Know this morning. First time in NBA history, Lee, two female officials, Natalie Sago and Jenna Schroeder, worked the same game. So here's the rub with this. They've actually worked games together before. They were part of a three-woman crew in the G League, but at the NBA level, this is a first, and this is big. So pretty cool to see this happen. You know, I can't imagine we're far away from, well, three women doing an NBA game. There's seven, I think, in the league out of the 76 officials. But neat timing with this too happening in the NBA because Sarah Thomas is going to be the first woman in the Super Bowl to officiate a game, part of the crew there when she works that Tampa Bay-Kansas City game next month, coming up at the start of next month. So cool. History made there last night. Mm-hmm. A small step in the right direction, for sure.
Yeah, it's great to see. It's great to see more women getting more opportunities in a male-dominated league. Obviously, Becky Hammon out in San Antonio has gotten a lot of publicity too, which is great because it's not about just because you're a woman you're getting this opportunity. It's about meritocracy, and that's what it should be, always. If you're the best at your job, male or female, doesn't matter, you should be given the best opportunity. So that's great to see, and I'm glad that the NBA continues to build that. I think that's very important.
Well, we got some news here to talk about. I can't wait to hear what you guys think about this. According to Woj yesterday, the NBA and the National Basketball Players Association are discussing the possibility of holding an All-Star game in early March, with Atlanta, here, our hometown, emerging as the likely site. Chris Paul has been a proponent of this idea, which would include the showcasing and benefiting of historically black colleges and universities and COVID-19 relief funds. The league is scheduled to have a midseason break between March 5th and March 10th. I think March 7th is a possible date being thrown around right now. You know, people have noted that this would just be an All-Star game, Lee. You know, there would be no Rising Stars and no All-Star Saturday night events. So no dunk contest and three-point contest and stuff like that.
No celebrity game?
No celebrity game, which would be, man, I mean, I almost want them to have that if they're going to do this, because we're right here. Maybe we'd get in. No one else could travel.
Exactly. Right. Surely we'd get into that.
So, but anyway, what do you think about this? Because I know some people are like, what are you doing, NBA? Like, are you kidding me? And then other people are like, guys, this is a damn business. Like, obviously Turner, who have the rights to the All-Star game, I'm sure are involved and would love to make some money broadcasting it. And if this stuff, and the money as Chris Paul wants maybe to go to the HBCUs and stuff like that and COVID-19, like, what do you think? Again, this is just a report, nothing official, but what's your take on this?
Well, to actually get everybody into the city to play an exhibition game seems like an unnecessary risk to me. Because, look, the last two seasons, the competitiveness of the All-Star games have improved a lot. And, you know, I was someone who was born into the NBA through the All-Star game. But I just don't really think we need it this season. Still have the selections and all that that goes along with it, because for some people it's very important. And for end of career resumes, it's important to have an All-Star acknowledgement there. But to actually play a game, I just don't think it's worth the risk, because ultimately the NBA's done a very good job for the most part this season in being able to get the season up and running. We've missed a lot of games.
We're over 20 games postponed here now.
Yeah, and a lot of those have been from sort of one or two teams too. Like the Celtics and the Wizards feel like they've missed the most of those games. And I just feel that if you're bringing in all these people, then you sort of have to keep them isolated from each other as well. A lot, you can't have too many people sort of interacting. It's not just players, it's coaches. I'm sure there'll be other support staff from teams coming in as well. And I think it's great if you can somehow raise money for these charities and good causes. I think that's still great. I just don't think you need the game necessarily to do that. You can still bring awareness to it while we're having a little bit of a pause in the season maybe. So I wouldn't play the game if I was the NBA, but I would try to make the weekend some sort of event to highlight other causes and more important causes than playing the game, because I don't think anyone's really going to care to watch the game. I just don't think so. So I don't love the idea of it personally. I think it's not the right idea. And I wonder if the NBA just maybe sort of slipped this out just to see what the reaction is, and then they'll go back and be like, okay, yeah, maybe it's not a good idea. I'm not sure.
No, Trey, what do you think?
It definitely could be a trial balloon, see what people are thinking about it, but there is money to be made, so surely the league is going to try and make it, and you got to wonder if it's going to put them behind the eight ball, because there have been quite a few games postponed, not necessarily for positive tests, but definitely for contact tracing, which means that we're bringing in, 30 players it ends up being from all different teams, and they're all going to be mingling together, and surely that will have a result after the All-Star game if those players go back and one of them happens to test positive, or somebody that they encountered during All-Star weekend, during the All-Star break, test positive, and suddenly we have 30 All-Stars out due to contact tracing. That could be bad for the NBA, but if there's money to be made out there, they're going to try and make it. It's good that they're going to give some of it to charities, to HBCUs, and to COVID-19 relief. But who knows? I mean, they're a business. Obviously, they're going to try and make money, even if it doesn't seem like it's the smartest thing to do. It could just be shooting themselves in the foot if down the line we end up having even more postponements.
Yeah, right. I mean, that's the thing. Like, this break could be pretty damn important for some of these guys and for some of these teams. And does it just put you even more behind the eight ball if you're not getting rest and then something, heaven forbid, happens over the All-Star break between players and more contact tracing? And now these stars, like, these would be the stars of the league, even more so now missing games in what could already be like a brutal second half. With all of these postponed games in the first half, and are they gonna make these up, or is everybody gonna play 72 games? I don't know. I love the All-Star game, absolutely love it. But even this, I think, is this one's a bit perplexing, because, you know, we canceled the All-Star game in Indianapolis, you know, 2021. That's where it was supposed to be. It's rescheduled for, I believe, 2024. So down the line, they will get it. But they were holding out hope that maybe they could do something like this. But if the league and the players union agrees, and Trey's right, like, money is to be made along with the broadcasting rights, then they're going to do it. It's like when we're having a season right now and they're playing 50 to 60 games a week right now, or whatever the heck we're at. So they could do this game if they want to. It's just, should they prioritize an exhibition game over possibly some much needed rest and more dates, even as the calendar year goes on, to get in that second half? I don't know. Probably not the smartest idea, but we'll see. Maybe it is just throw it out there and see what the reaction is. And I would say the reaction was not that great, right? No. Am I crazy? Yeah, I think more people than not were like, what? We don't need that. No. Just take it off this year. Announce the selections. That'll be fun. We debate that. That's half the fun anyway with the All-Star game. Oh, who didn't make it? Oh, who should make it? And just leave it at that. We'll see. Final piece of news. Jokic and Embiid. Oh, big man bias my ass, Trey Kirby. Yeah, Embiid and Jokic named the NBA's Players of the Week for Week 5. Games played from January 18th to the 24th. Embiid averaged 37.7 points per game and 11.7 boards as the Sixers went 3-0. They're now 0-4 without him when he plays. And Jokic averaged 29 points, 14.7 rebounds, and 6.7 assists as the Nuggets also stayed perfect at 3-0. I just like this because these two guys are going to be on the very, very short list for MVP if they continue to play. And, you know, so here they are both getting this accolade. Not that we ever look back and go, well, how many players of the week did that guy have for this MVP candidacy? But anyway, it's sort of cool that these two monsters in both conferences putting up incredible numbers in victories are right there with your LeBrons and with your, you know, Kawhis and whoever else, your Luka, whoever else you want to throw in the mix. These guys will be right there. I did see last night Embiid missing another one. The Sixers now 0-4, as I said, when he doesn't play. Does that help or hurt his case for MVP? Because on one hand, you're like, of course it helps his case. When he doesn't play, they don't win. They're horrible without him. But then again, if Embiid doesn't play, I don't know how many games you got to get to, your threshold, Trey, but like if he misses 15 games of a 72-game season, like is that enough to win MVP? It's like a double-edged sword here maybe with Embiid.
Obviously. I mean, the first experience we have with Joel Embiid is him not playing enough games to win an award that he should have won.
Right.
We'll see how it turns out at the end of the season. I personally don't think your team losing when you're not playing doesn't really matter because you're not playing. It should be about what you're actually doing on the floor when you're out there. Obviously, the Sixers are going to be better when they have an MVP player. That's why you're an MVP. But I do love this. I do love seeing these two big guys getting this honor, especially since last season we had a question. Who's better, Jokic or Embiid?
Yeah.
I mean, it's a toss-up right now. Yeah. These are two incredible centers that you could build your team around. I mean, Embiid is obviously more of a defensive presence than Jokic is, but it's probably easier to build a successful offense around Jokic. I don't know. I think I went Embiid last year. I think I'm going Jokic right now, but I don't know. Ask me again in a week.
Have you seen how many dunks Nikola Jokic has thrown down this season? He's thrown down a dunk a game.
Right. It's crazy. Like, losing weight, it turned out, was really good for him. I can't believe it. He's just flying around the court. The guy's dunking in half-court scenarios, like off of a screen down the lane.
It's rare for him. Unbelievable, yeah. Now, he got the tee earlier in the season. I'm surprised he hasn't got a couple more because he does like to hang on that rim a little bit. I think he sort of
You would, too, if you were that size and you're up at that height. You want to check where you're landing before you actually land,
Just a little quick shout-out. Donovan Mitchell, he could have been in running for Player of the Week. He had a fantastic week, but they beat the Pelicans twice.
I heard he was going to get it, but Shaq said, no, you can't give it to him. That's what I heard. Don't quote me on that, right? I don't want to see that on Real GM, okay? I'm kidding. All right, so congrats to Jokic and Embiid. Right, let me ask you, though, Lee. I mean, Trey's leaning towards Jokic. Who would you pick right now? If you had to pick between those two guys.
Well, I think Embiid and the Sixers have gotten off to a better start than the Nuggets, but I feel that Jokic probably is having a better all-round season. Doing just a little bit more for his team, even though Embiid's probably got the defensive stats there. But it's very close. I have been very impressed with Embiid so far this season. Again, a lot of credit, I think, goes to Doc Rivers. But also just Embiid seems to have, you know, his game's matured a little bit. And he realizes, like, okay, I can mix up my game a little bit here. I can dominate and play bully ball. I can hit that nice little mid-ranger. And he hasn't, you know, he's sort of reeled in the three-point shooting as well. So, and his team is winning, they're playing good basketball, but I just give Jokic the slight edge.
Okay, let's hear from everybody out there in the stream team. Who would you take right now, Jokic or Embiid? Who would be at the top of your MVP leaderboard right now? Maybe it's LeBron over both those guys.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Let's get to Tweet of the Night.
Tweet of the Night. Wow.
Twitter.
All right, like I said off the top, circling back to something that came up yesterday, and that is, what's a good nickname for a 20-plus assist game? We know what 20-plus rebounds means. That's roast beef. Cantor, he ate roast beef last night despite being a vegan, and we'll have Big Beef Volume 5 dropping later today on our YouTube channel. But we tweeted, you know, what's a good nickname for 20-plus assist game? And we had some great responses that I just wanted to share. There were a lot of like things for like a Stockton, you know, makes sense. Stockton doing it like I think more than double whoever's in second place, probably Magic Johnson, for in terms of like how many 20 assist games he had. Okay, a Stockton, cool. Double dimes, there was a lot of that. There was a lot of adding up of like math because of the dimes thing. So like a lot of people wanted a Toonie. Shout out to Canada and the Toonie coin.
Mm-hmm.
Not bad. These are all good suggestions. But like because we have roast beef, I liked picking ones that were sort of food oriented as well. And we got a couple of those. So Jack James had one of my favorites. 20 plus assists has to be known as applesauce. Okay? Applesauce. Assists. He's breaking down assists. Ass is apple. Okay? And sis is sauce. Oh, that guy had a lot of applesauce last night.
I don't mind it.
Does sound cool. Ross B said 20 assists should be some Cool Whip because they're whipping those passes all over the court.
Okay.
Okay. Cool Whip. Lee, you're not loving that one, Lee. Like applesauce a bit more?
Well, yeah. Keep going. I haven't ever found one I love yet.
Okay. At Heartsy Thai Food said 20 plus taters. Like on Thanksgiving Day, those spuds are getting passed around the table.
Ooh.
I don't mind it. My only problem with that is taters already, my mind goes to baseball. Mm. Already goes to home
runs.
Good
point. That's true.
So that's my one issue with that one. Anime Crossing said, a pack of gum. Because of those times you hand out one piece and you end up giving out the whole pack. Had to include that one for Matty O.
Yeah.
Because he's lived that before. You know, Matty O hated to pull out a pack of gum because someone would say, hey, can I have one? And then Lee's saying, can I have one? And Trey's like, can I have one? And basically, the
one piece
gone.
Turns into six pieces pretty quick.
I would say if you get 20 steals, it's a pack of gum and the Matt Austin because he would steal all the gum.
Yeah, he did. Like so those were the food-oriented one. Maybe my favorite, it's not food-oriented, but Scott said, a Tinder. That's a lot of hookups.
I love it.
That guy had a Tinder last night. That's pretty good too. So, okay, Lee, of everything I presented there to you, do you like any of those? What's your favorite or do you have something else in mind?
Taters, you make a good point because even I sort of think about baseball there with that one. But yeah, I think the Tinder is because, you know, you're assisting, you're helping, you're getting the hookup there. So I think it doesn't have to be food related.
No, it doesn't.
You know, so I don't like applesauce. That doesn't seem right because I don't know. You should be sort of distributing and share. I guess you do, like, you know, but you take your own applesauce, don't you, and distribute it yourself. You don't have someone else say, put the applesauce on my roast pork.
Right. Okay. What do you think, Trey?
I actually really like Toonie, but I think that's probably more so for Canadian players. Like if Jamal Murray has a 20 assist game, call it a Toonie, 20 dimes, no doubt. And for me, I think applesauce is the one of the ones that you've said so far, just because it's so ridiculous, especially when you're describing it as ass equals apple.
I know.
It does start with A, and that's kind of honestly how roast beef started. It sounds kind of similar, but I don't know. I like playing around with the food as well to keep it in the food realm. But Skeets, you didn't really think I was going to let a beef go unnoticed, do you?
Oh, no.
JD, roll that beautiful beef footage.
Enes Kanter grabbed 22 rebounds. That's a lot of roast beef. I looked it up. They have vegan roast beef. No dunks. We love roast beef, which is rebounds.
Wow, I didn't even think we were getting that in today's Daily Show. I actually thought you didn't have the time last night.
The beef. Oh, I didn't have the time last night, but I made the time this morning. And let me tell you, watching rebounds, hilarious to begin with. Watching rebounds with a six-year-old, honestly ridiculous. She's like, Daddy, what are you doing? I'm like, well, a guy had a lot of rebounds. You know how I'm always saying that's a lot of roast beef? I'm making a video. She's like, all misses? That's so silly, Daddy. And honestly, it was. Cantor's rebounds are pretty good. The guy gets the ball out immediately. He catches it, dishes it to somebody. There's that one where he grabs a rebound like underneath the block and throws a granny-style pass to Gary Trent Jr. He had the push out of Isaiah Roby there at the end for a tip. Impressive stuff from Cantor. He's one of the best offensive rebounders in the game, but we had to hit him with the vegan beef. All beefs are good around here. I feel like Sam Elliott. Roast beef. Vegan beef. Sloppy beef. Home-cooked beef. Beef stroganoff.
Never had vegan roast beef. Lee, have you ever tried that?
No, I haven't. No.
Seems sort of to defeat the purpose of eating roast beef. But look. Yeah, do what you got to do. All right, so that's fantastic. We'll have to talk to Blazers broadcaster Lamar Hurd about Cantor's roast beef and, of course, the wedgies. And the Blazers, who lost last night too, to OKC, that was a victory for them. We're having Lamar Hurd on tomorrow's show, on Wednesday's Daily Show. He's supposed to join us, or at least that's the plan. So we'll talk to him about what he thinks about the Blazers' early start to the season and if they should make a move and stuff like that. Be interested to hear his thoughts on that. All right, way to get that beef, that vegan beef in. Pick'em results from last night. I swerved, and it worked out. You guys all took the Bulls to cover. Celtics favored by 7.5 on the road. They got it done. Big win from Boston. Tatum back. Great game. Jaylen Brown, another beauty game. But you guys all had the Bulls, so you all lost. Trey and Lee, you're 9-13. Tass is still in last at 8-14. And I increased my lead, so I'm looking pretty good right now. I'm 12-10. I don't want to jinx anything here. But I believe I'm 12-10 with that victory. So tonight's game, guys, important one for you guys and Tass for sure. Only three on tonight. Clippers Hawks on NBA TV. Kawhi Leonard or Paul George. Yeah, they are out. Wizards Rockets and Knicks Jazz. Those are the games on tonight. We're going to go Wizards Rockets. Okay, Washington Houston John Wall revenge game in play. It's a possibility. Houston favored by 2.5 at home. Lee, who do you like?
That's a tough one. The Wizards score a lot, but they give up a lot. I'll take the Rockets by 3 points.
Okay, yeah, Rockets got to win by 3 or more. Trey?
Yeah, you would think the Wizards really need a win, but how are they going to do it? I got to go Rockets as well on this one. I don't know. Zero confidence, but give me the Rockets.
Yeah, I'm also going with the Rockets. I think they get this victory. Is Westbrook playing in this one? I assume he is in the last game, but who knows with his injury. So
not a back-to-back, though, so.
Yeah, he should be playing, so we'll get a Wall versus Westbrook here and see who can ultimately win this amazing trade that happened. Okay, so we all have the Rockets. Let's find out who Tass has.
I'm taking the Wizards. I need to make up a game, and I figure one of Trey or Lee is going to take the Rockets. I can't hear you right now.
I'm listening. I'm trying to listen. Is one of you taking the Rockets? I think so. I could be wrong. I don't assume. Could make an ass out of you, and especially me.
Okay. Teenage Mutant Ninja Tassie. Cowabunga pick there with the Wizards. So he called it right. He said at least one of you would go with the Rockets. Both of you. So this is a huge game in the pick'em here. Tass needs the Wizards to cover at least tonight. Rockets again favored by 2.5. Needs the Wizards to cover, and then you guys would all be tied up. So that would be very exciting. So we will see. We will see. All right. Like I said, Lamar Hurd, hopefully joining us on tomorrow's show. We got Big Beef Volume 5, if you didn't catch it live, dropping on our YouTube channel. So make sure you like and you comment and you subscribe to No Dunks on YouTube. Shout out to the stream team once again. Thank you so much for joining us. Email us your questions for tomorrow's Beach Steppin' Podcast. Yes, Wednesday, already tomorrow. NoDunks@TheAthletic.com. You can email them in or you can leave them in the YouTube comments or tweet them in @NoDunksInc. Grab your No Dunks merch @NoDunks.com and subscribe to The Athletic if you haven't already. TheAthletic.com/NoDunks. Guys, anything you would like to add to this Tuesday Daily Show before we wrap it up?
Luka Doncic could wear shorter shorts if he wanted to. If he wanted to. He doesn't need to, but I'm just saying he could go for like a Carmelo Anthony length and it would really look good on him.
Okay, that's very nice. Clipper Bros.
You heard it here first. Have a great time. Turn up. Love you guys. Awesome.
Thanks for joining us. And remember, as Josh Coyne of the stream team says, don't assist and makes an ass out of I and ST.
Embrace the day, people.